And good morning. Welcome to Health Essentials. There we go. There's a record button. Okay, now we're going. there was definitely frost on the pumpkin this morning. All right, let's cover this topic first right here. Oh, by the way, let me give out the number of the radio station. I probably don't do that as much as I should, but here it is right here, just in case you want to write it down and call me a little bit. You may have a question of some kind. And if your question relates to, what do I do to help myself? How do I improve my health? How can I do it naturally? The number here at the station is 903-589-8507. That's 903-589-8507. That goes to line number one. I know because I'm looking at it right now. Okay, this to me is an interesting article, and I'm going to make it just straight and to the point. But this comes from the Journal of the American College of Nutrition, and it was published on June the 7th of 2013, in case you want to look it up. But it's interesting to me because it comes from the University of Texas Medical Branch at Galveston. I may have to go down to Galveston to do some research. Can I take my fishing pole? Do redfish and trout bite? Or will they take the bait when it's cold outside? Well, I'm thinking fish got to eat. Fish are cold-blooded. I would imagine fishing would be a little bit more challenging when it gets to be colder. Anyway, enough of that. So here's what the article is all about. The article is based on the idea that if you're a normal human being and you're driving up and down the road, and or you're exposed to fumes and toxins, well, what they're looking at is, they're looking, here's the title of the article right here, The Effects of Ascorbic Acid Supplementation on the Blood Lead Levels of Smokers. Now, you're probably asking the question, why would they take cigarette smokers and check the level of lead? Well, duh, cigarettes are loaded with lead. And, of course, they've got a way of saying, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Well, it would be to me. I'm pretty sure it would be to you. One of the reasons why I looked up this article was because I was talking to a young man yesterday. I won't say how old he is, maybe 39, something like that. But he was telling me that he just had his eyes examined, and with the eye examination, they revealed that he had cataracts. And he said, could you believe it? I already have cataracts. And so I asked him a question. I asked him, well, what do you think causes cataracts? And see, sometimes I'm wrong about that. I always think a person's curious like I am, and they want to like look it up and see if they can do their own research. I mean, but wouldn't you agree, 39 is probably, that's pretty young to start having cataracts. I mean, I know it's possible, but he smokes cigarettes. I don't know how much. My dad smoked a lot of cigarettes. That I'm familiar with. So here's the article right here. In 1999, an American human study was published in the Journal of the American College of Nutrition, in which they had 75 heavy smoking men that were aged between 20 and 30. They participated as test subjects. 1999. That wasn't that long ago. You know, 25 years. They go on to say that smoking is quite harmful to the human health in many different ways, one of which in that cigarettes, the smoke releases all kinds of heavy metals into the body, like lead. That's my key point. In animal studies, they've shown that vitamin C can protect laboratory rats against lead poisoning to some extent. I mean, there's always going to be a certain amount of lead you come in contact with where it's just overwhelming to all your systems, meaning it's going to build up in the body. Your body is just unable to detoxify it. So these researchers at Galveston, you know, UT researchers, they wanted to find out if vitamin C was effective. And I think there's a couple of good takeaway points. They divide the American men into three groups. Those that received daily tablet with 0 milligrams of vitamin C, that'd be called the placebo. And then there were some that had 250 milligrams of vitamin C, which that's a little bit. and then 1,000. They chose to call 1,000 milligrams of ascorbic acid a megadose, and I'm going, okay, that's one way of looking at it. By the way, when you read these or hear these studies, you can come to your own conclusions. You don't always have to follow what the researchers, you know, say. Anyway, let me get to the results right here. The concentration of lead in the blood remained high in the men who took zero vitamin C or the ones that took 250 milligrams of vitamin C. So I think what you're going to come to the conclusion of, there's always going to be a Goldilocks, just right amount of a substance to get the job done. So here's the punchline. In the men that took 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C daily, the concentration of lead fell by 81%. I've got the graph right here, but the numbers are so teeny tiny and so small, I can't quite read them, even with my reading glasses, but it shows, well, I mean, I can, but you can't see them, but it shows the men that took 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, they actually started dumping and getting rid of the lead at a much faster level. Anyway, you're probably thinking, what is lead doing in cigarettes? Is there not a way to make cigarettes without lead? I don't know the answer to that. I just looked it up a while ago. Oh, here it is right here. Okay, this is really the number one heavy metal that's in cigarettes. Cigarettes contain a number of heavy metals, including cadmium. From what I understand, cadmium on some level, which is very, very toxic, nobody's going to get an old rechargeable cadmium battery and grate it into their salad. Of course not. It says it's a group 1 carcinogen that can accumulate in the body's tissues and fluids. And, you know, maybe one takeaway is cadmium can cause kidney damage. I don't know about you. Well, no, I do know. If you've smoked cigarettes for a long time, even though maybe you've stopped, you've got to consider that maybe this could explain why you have some kidney damage. Anyway, lead, they call it a group 2 carcinogen that accumulates in the lungs of smokers, and there's arsenic. I won't even go into that. A takeaway is arsenic is not good for you. Neither is chromium. Deer in the woods don't go lick the chrome bumpers of a car because... Anyway... So there's one study right there. The other one, and I think I've mentioned this to you before. It's a pretty famous, where is it? Oh, yeah. There was analysis by the University of Oxford. What they did was they tried to calculate what are the reductions in life expectancy. And so they have all sorts of things. For example, if somebody... Well, here's a study right here. It says the average life expectancy of Norwegians with schizophrenia. I don't know if you've ever known somebody that's schizophrenic. It's very difficult. So the average life expectancy of a schizophrenic is 62 years of age. That means they don't live much beyond that. And what they're showing is this study from Oxford. I'm going back to that now. That if you have a really significant form of mental illness, and it has to be schizophrenia, they're estimating that's going to be somewhere between 10 to 20 years that takes off your lifespan. So when they say somebody abuses drugs also, and they're a schizophrenic, well, then your life expectancy is 47 years. And you're probably thinking, 47 years, everybody lives to be 80. Well, no, that's not true. Maybe if everything, you know, that's the one thing that we have to come to terms with. Each one of us, we're not going to walk this earth forever. We have very finite physical earthly bodies. Now, we're designed to last for eternity. I'm sure you're going to agree with me on that. Okay, so let me see what's the other one. Oh, yeah, here's the one I was going to get to. If you smoke cigarettes, that's going to take 10 years off your life. And I didn't look at all the long-standing research. But anyway, here's what I was going to say. So if you smoke cigarettes, that takes 10 years off your optimal lifespan. And if you also have long-standing diabetes, I would probably interpret that as maybe not well-managed diabetes. There's some people that the worst aspect of diabetes for them might be their blood sugar might be 103 or 104 or 105. They measure that in milligrams per deciliter. That's a lot different than someone whose average blood sugar is about 175. So in the Oxford survey, they show that it takes 20 years off your life. So if you smoke cigarettes, 10 years. If you have diabetes, it's probably poorly managed. That takes 20 years off your life. If you're taking, have you ever heard of a proton pump inhibitor? Yeah, that's like taking Nexium or Omeprazole or Pantoprazole. That takes 2 years off your life right there. I don't plan on, you know, spending a lot of time talking about the reasons why, but just ask yourself the question, is there any negative side effect to taking an acid-blocking drug? Yeah. It takes years off your life. And what I would probably emphasize is it takes away the quality of your life. That is your ability to enjoy life to the fullest. So if you got diabetes, you smoke cigarettes, and you use a proton pump inhibitor, well, that's 32 years off your life. So instead of living to be 80 years old, you're going to live to be what? Was that 48? No. Where's Randy's calculator? So let's just say that you were going to live to be 80 if you were healthy. Minus 32 years? 48. That's it. How about that? Anyway, the other one that kind of gets me here, in this survey from Oxford, they say that if you don't exercise at all, that takes 5 years off your life. Anyway, something to think about. All right, study number two. This one's kind of interesting right here because I know that there's a... I don't know if the drug has actually been released, but there's a drug that they have been working on, and it's made from ginger. Yeah, ginger. The very thing that would be grated onto or into, you know, Asian, Chinese Thai food. I like the taste of ginger. Sometimes I kind of get a craving for ginger tea where you just take ginger and pour some hot water over it. Too bad you don't have your own lemon tree growing in the backyard where you can squeeze some lemon on it. I know if we ask the question, which lemons taste better, the ones you grow yourself or the ones you buy? Of course. It's the ones you grow yourself. Okay. So, I read that study this morning from Japan where they're actually trying to take ginger and they're making a slight conversion to it where it's a little bit more potent or lasts longer in the blood. But they're showing it's a very effective at helping people lose weight. Okay. Now, here's the analysis right here. All they're doing is they're looking at giving people ginger, and they're trying to find out what happens with the body's energy expenditure. So, you've heard the phrase before that they're not running on all eight cylinders. Well, obviously, the engine is going to burn fuel probably more so when it's running on eight cylinders, but it also produces the highest amount of power, horsepower, or energy when you have access to all eight cylinders as opposed to only seven cylinders where one's misfiring. I already know for a fact you can drive a pickup anywhere you want on seven cylinders. One's misfiring, but it's going to run rough. It's not going to have as much power. Anyway, this is the interesting study right here. This comes from, here's the title of the study. It says, Ginger Intervention on Body Weight and Body Composition in Adults. So what they're doing is they're just saying, we've got some adults that are overweight. Let's give them ginger and see what happens. And this is based on 27 randomized controlled trials. Anyway, here's the study right here. What year was this done? Oh, here it is right here. It comes from Nutrition Review, 2024, December the 1st. What? How can it be Oh, that's because it's going to be published on December the 1st. Thought I was a time traveler for a second. This is not December the 1st yet. We got another day to go. All right, here's a study right here. Researchers from Azad University in Iran, they traced 27 randomized placebo-controlled trials in the scientific literature in which healthy and less healthy subjects, they were aged somewhere between 18 years of age all the way up to 70. I kind of like that, kind of the broad age groups there. And they just gave them ginger supplements. So the daily dose ranged from 0.6 to 3 grams per day, and the duration of the trials varied from 4 weeks to 12 weeks, okay? I can already tell you, without even reading the study, those that took it for 12 weeks probably did better than those that took it for 4 weeks. You with me on that? And so the dose is somewhere between 600 milligrams to 3,000 milligrams, just in case you want to know. So if you went to the store and you purchased ginger, and maybe it's in a 500 milligram capsule, well, you can multiply 5 times 5 and come up with 2,500. Anyway, in the 24 trials, test subjects were given ginger powder that was not significantly different from the ginger powder that's on the shelves of your health food store or the supermarket or buying it online. In the other three trials, the subjects received purified extracts. I did not see an explanation as to what that meant, but maybe they were just trying to standardize it so they had as much of the active ingredient like gingerols. Maybe they wanted to concentrate where they had more of the active ingredient they thought would do a good job. Overall, when they did the test for like 4 weeks, the test subject lost 1.5 kilos of their body weight. A kilo is 2.2 pounds. I'm just going to round it up to be generous. 3.5 pounds they lost. I don't know about you, but we've talked about in the past that when I've looked at the studies on Weight Watchers, even if you opt to the Platinum Super Gold plan or whatever they offer, just the top line plan, you're doing good to lose a pound a month. What is it, 1.2? If I'm wrong about that, I'll correct it. But you lose, but that's not much weight to lose for a whole lot of money. I would kind of venture a guess that if you went to the store right now, or you just went and bought ginger, that's probably going to be very high quality. And it's probably going to be very, very inexpensive. They also noticed that their body fat percentage dropped by 1 percentage point. So if you had a body mass index of 32, it dropped to 31. Well, in 4 to 12 weeks, I think that's a move in the right direction. Wouldn't that be called healing? Healing would be a natural move or restoration back to wholeness again. You're trying to find out what is the optimal template or blueprint or ideal body for me living inside this temple of the Holy Spirit. And so, yes, it doesn't take a genius. Every aspect of the fast food industry is completely against you being healthy. They don't want you being healthy. They understand that the more of these chemicals that they put in the food, the more addicted you're going to be and the more times you're going to come back to the drive-thru so you can get another one of their fast food meals. Anyway, ginger's really, it's one of the most amazing natural remedies out there. Anyway, so their waist decreased by a centimeter, but would that encourage you, though, if you started to see some results after about a month? Okay, so As far as the researchers could see, ginger was most effective at a dose of 2 grams a day. Or if you want to say it differently, that's 2,000 milligrams. Now, if you couldn't measure it that way, that's going to be about a teaspoon of ginger a day. Now, to me, that would be so easy to get. What if, let me say it a different way, that you don't want to take a supplement? Maybe you'd prefer just to make your own ginger tea by grating some ginger in a cup of hot water. We'll do it. Maybe the hot water will act as a solvent to help dissolve those active gingerols or other ingredients out of the ginger root, and you could drink it down that way. I think that would be easy. Or what if you were making stir fry and you just took fresh ginger and you grated like a tablespoon into it so everybody got some of it? I had a man one time, this was years ago, tell me he used to suffer horribly with mucousy, thick congestion in his throat, sinuses, nasal passages, the back of his throat. He said until he started the old remedy of just getting a chunk of fresh ginger root and chewing it up every single day. And I thought to myself, that is a man that wants to feel good. And he wants to be able to breathe through his nose. And he doesn't want to have to clear his throat all the time. You know what I mean. So there you go. You don't have to take the supplements of ginger. You could be like the gentleman I'm talking about, where you just chew up a chunk of it. That'd be amazing. Okay, now here's the part that I like. Now, all that is pretty encouraging. Oh, one more detail right here. They say that the optimal duration of supplementation with ginger was between 8 and 10 weeks. See there, that goes back to the principle. Whatever you do, it takes time and patience and consistency to see the results. Don't you think that's being reasonable not to expect with one capsule of ginger for it to completely transform your body? No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You've got to be consistent. But see, this could just be as easy as taking a sheet of paper and saying, what am I going to do for the next 8 weeks? Let's just round it off to 2 months. Let's just say for the month of December, January, you purpose that you're going to make a concerted effort to consume ginger every day. I just told you the dose from the study that seemed to be the most effective was 2,000 milligrams a day. Now, that's easy. That's real easy to do. And the thing of it is, ginger is so inexpensive. It is not what we would call an expensive supplement. And you could even do your own research on the internet today and find out, well, how do I want to do this? Well, the most important thing is getting it inside of your body, whether that be in the form of a capsule or a tablet. Or you take a powder and stir it up in something. Maybe you want to make a smoothie and you say, can I just take a teaspoon of ginger powder? Of course you can. Or maybe you want to make a tea out of it. Or you want to grate some with a fine grater into the food that you're eating. I always think that when you add herbs and spices to your food to give them a flavor, you're telling your body, I love you. Okay, so it also, so the takeaway is, or one takeaway, 2,000 milligrams a day was optimal. Yeah, hey, you can do that. That's easy, right? They also said that when they noticed that when people took it for 8 to 10 weeks, so let's just say 2 to 2.5 months, they had the best results. Okay, that's easy to understand. Now, this is the part that I find interesting. When they had subjects that had a pretty big body mass index of 30 or higher, well, they tended to respond the most with the greatest results. Of course, you're probably going to counter and say, well, they have the most to give up or to change as far as letting go of their weight. And I say, yeah, you're true. That's true. Now, here's the mechanism. I always like knowing these things because I think, you know, that men are just built different than women. And I think men, technically, they like to understand. It's kind of exciting to know, how do I figure out how to make this work? Could you imagine if you're trying to figure out how to do something and finally you solve the mystery because you've told yourself, I've got to solve this or figure it out? Well, this is, for me, this is probably the most pleasure. is just trying to figure out how does this work, because if I understand how something works, it's so easy for me to recommend it to a person that's struggling or having a, they need help. You know, it's just one of the greatest pleasures of life is making yourself useful. Don't you think that what my job is this morning is I've got to find a way to be helpful and useful and encouraging. But the number one thing is you got to do what's in a person's best interest. And sometimes that means telling people things they don't want to hear. So, yes, if you're struggling, you need to pay attention. This is in your best interest. So here's how they tried to determine. This is what they came up with as the mechanism on how ginger seems to work at helping people lose significant amounts of weight. Okay? Number one, and this is interesting right here. You probably already figured this out, but when I read this, I said, no wonder. Boy, yeah, I like that. So here's reason number one. Ginger increases the body temperature, which also increases the body's calorie consumption. So what I want to do is just let's think this through for a second. If someone said, I think my thyroid is not working as well as it should, and I would say, well, why is that? And they might say, well, when I wake up in the morning, I check my temperature, and it's right at 95.5 degrees. I say, what do you mean 95.5 degrees? They go, yeah, it really is true. I'm cold all the time. I take my temperature in the morning because I read that that's the most accurate way to determine, or on one level, what's going on with the thyroid. Well, what if you did that? What if you took your morning temperature and it was right at 96 degrees Fahrenheit? Well, what I'm going to suggest is there's probably an optimal operating temperature of the human body where if you could just get to 98.6 degrees, that's optimal, that all of a sudden everything starts working better. You burn more energy, you burn more calories, your body stays in better working order, you heal faster. But folks, when your body temperature falls, you know, to 96 degrees or 95.5 or 97, man, your metabolism is not as efficient as it should be. And you do realize that your thyroid is absolutely the largest hormone-producing gland in the body. It is. And every single cell that you have in your body, whether it's a liver cell or a bone cell or a brain cell or a kidney cell, they've got to be able to efficiently take oxygen and fuel and convert that into energy. Well, you have thyroid hormones. That's kind of the spark of life. It's like a spark plug. And so one of the ways that they have proven that ginger works is it has this ability to increase the body's core temperature, which in turn increases the body's calorie consumption. So if your body starts burning more calories than what you take in from your diet, that's going to be a net loss in weight. You're going to lose weight. Now, I didn't look it up, but I'm curious, does ginger actually bolster or improve the thyroid? Or is it because that ginger's a heating herb? It just helps you burn fuel more efficiently. Well, either way, you can add to the food or take it as a supplement or drink it. To me, that's pretty encouraging. Now, here's the other one. I didn't expect this one right here, but still, it's very interesting nonetheless. So here's the second mechanism that by which they said that ginger was very effective at working. It says that ginger slows down the development of fat cells. Okay. Well, is that to your advantage to have fewer fat cells growing brand new in the body? Yes. It also forces, don't know how, it forces fat cells to release fatty acid in the bloodstream. So here's the way I kind of look at it. I was reading some research about mitochondria the other day. And to me, this is such a fascinating topic because mitochondria is like one of those teeny tiny organelles. I mean, you can't see it with the naked eye. It would have to be imaged most likely under an electron microscope, something that had just incredible magnification imaging abilities. One of my favorite books I have is written by Frank Netter, but it shows the mitochondria in a kidney. And we've probably talked about this, but 20% of all the food or calories that you take into your mouth, it goes to the kidneys. I mean, the kidneys burn a lot of fuel. So it really helps if the kidneys are burning fuel efficiently, and that's why you need mitochondria. Well, if during the daytime, primarily the mitochondria in all your cells, they're burning glucose as probably the main source of energy. They might be burning fat, but let's just say it this way. What if you have your very last meal of the day at 6 o'clock in the evening? Most likely, it's going to take in that meal. Oh, I should make up a meal here. Let's say it's a garlic fried rice with chicken from a Thai food restaurant with extra ginger on top. Okay. Well, after about 3.5 hours, your body has probably digested, burned up, used up the glucose from the carbohydrates from the rice. Does that make sense? And maybe from some of the vegetables also. Maybe there was potatoes in there. I don't know. You could have asked for them, right? Well, what does your body do? It starts using fat as a source of energy. But for the most part, the way that I currently understand this is your mitochondria substantially burns glucose during the daytime when you're awake. But at nighttime when you're asleep, it has to switch over to ketones. That means during the daytime, your mitochondria is used to burning glucose for energy, and during the nighttime, it's burning ketones. Ketones are from fatty acids or from fat. You know, one of the best pieces of advice of all time is only eating when it's light out. I think the problem for most people is that they try to eat when it's dark. That's when you're going to get into trouble. Okay. Well, you don't need a study on ginger. You can just do it yourself and see if you get good results, and that makes you very, very happy. All right. I have a phone line open. I just looked at the clock. I did not realize this, but I've been talking for 30 minutes. If you want to join me on the radio, please be my guest. Call me right now. The number here at the station is 903-589-8507. It can't be just me, but when we have a holiday like Thanksgiving, it kind of changes the dynamics of people's schedule. Most likely, there's so many people that have lots of guests at their house right now. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hey, Doc, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much for your phone call.
Got a question for you. The question is the Mayo Clinic did a study on niacin for, cholesterol.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like it's really good, and I got a bad case of cholesterol. So I'm wondering if I progressed with that and, use that, if I could really get it under control.
Are you taking any drugs of any kind, like a prescription for any other issues?
Not any other issues, no, but they want to give me a statin, for the cholesterol.
Oh, yeah, absolutely they do. I think that's about the only language they can speak. let me just tell you this before I directly answer. Well, no, this is an answer to the question. They make a form of niacin that's a non-flushing form, which means your face is not going to get beet red. I mean, lots of people have gone to the emergency room just because they took niacin. And they thought their face was on fire. They thought they were going to die. Oh. It's miserable. Have you ever taken niacin before?
Oh, I'm taking a form of it right now.
Oh, what's it called?
I'd have to look at the Bible.
Well, yeah, sorry about that. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. There's a form of niacin that's called inositol hexaphosphate. But it's one of those forms. It's the non-flushing. And it has very significantly good numbers, just like you're suggesting, to help reduce cholesterol levels.
Okay. About how much would I need to take? You know, what dosage would I need to take to, you know, daily to do that?
Okay. I'm going to have to look it up real quick.
Okay.
Inositol hexaphosphate dose to lower cholesterol. What do you think it is?
I don't know. My,
for some reason, I'm thinking about 3,000 milligrams. I could be wrong. Okay, here's... I don't know offhand. I would have to like look that up. So, I mean, but oh, it says less than 2,000 milligrams a day had the strongest effect on. This comes from the National Institutes of Health. Okay, the effect of inositol supplementation on lipid profiles among patients with metabolic diseases. A systemic review. Anyway, that's all. This stuff is like super easy to look up, but reduction in triglycerides, total LDL. It said, but it did not affect HDL, which is good because what you want is you want your HDL probably being a little bit above the number 60, because when it's above 60, it does a pretty good job of helping protect your body against building up plaque and gunk in the arteries.
Okay.
Says it's even it even helps if you have polycystic ovarian syndrome, which you do not have.
No, I don't think so. Not lately. Yeah,
not lately. Yeah, yeah, but niacin is very... And the thing of it is, most likely you're thinking to yourself, what can I do to help myself? It's not going to cause me to develop diabetes or something like that, which... I don't know anybody that would get on the radio with me and try to promote that taking a statin. Statins are so famous for causing people to develop diabetes. It just takes about 6 to 7 years to get there.
My cholesterol and stuff, basically, I can't remember it right offhand, but it was, you know, around 280 at one time.
Mm-hmm.
It was that high. Well, and then I had some actual pains. I did calcium score. They did all that stuff, and you know.
Did that come back zero?
Well, they said it was strange what they said, because it said something about being not, something was wrong. Well, kind of not wrong, but I wish I could remember it, but. It was something, you know, it was kind of like I had it as far as at one time had a problem or something, you know, and it said it was...
that's a very accurate... Okay. Well, it's kind of hard to determine what they mean by that. But yeah, this is, if you want to help yourself, that would be one way that you could go about doing this.
Is there something that can go along with this that stabilize it?
Yeah, one of the I know that the way that I'm going to go about this is going to sound weird, but you said stabilize it, which here's the bottom line that they're concerned about. There is a term, it's called the glycocalyx. Have you ever heard the glycocalyx?
No, sir, I had.
That is the most inner lining inside the tiniest arteries in your body. So that's where plaque always gets under the glycocalyx. Anyway, here's what I'm getting toward. If you have ever heard of a supplement called chondroitin sulfate.
No, sir.
Or one called glucosamine sulfate. Does that ring a bell at all?
Yeah, that one does.
I'm almost positive I have a book right in front of me that actually... that actually covers the idea of that. I just read the other day. When I say the other day, I mean a month ago. Glycocalyx right here. But no, but they showed specifically that you greatly reduce your risk of having plaque form in those inner linings of the arteries or under the endothelium, the glycocalyx, when people take glucosamine sulfate and chondroitin sulfate. And these are compounds that are extracted from like shellfish, like, you know, crabs, things like that. But when you take them as a supplement, a lot of people take this historically because they're trying to rejuvenate their knees or their ankles or their hips because it keeps the cartilage in good working order.
Oh, okay. But well, that wouldn't hurt for me.
That wouldn't what?
That wouldn't hurt for me.
No, that wouldn't hurt at all. And, I mean, yes, there's always a risk that maybe 1% out of 100 might get a little bit nauseous when they take it. But I'd say most people, I've never had any problem taking glucosamine sulfate. But what you're doing is you're providing these interesting compounds to help keep your body in good repair, which to me, that's one of the easiest ways to promote health is I'd rather, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure type deal.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I do have problems with my knees. They ache quite a bit sometimes.
Well, that's why I want to talk you into glucosamine and chondroitin.
Okay. Put that on my list of things to pick up.
I mean, it is. It's relatively cheap, but the benefit is just so huge. But even one of the studies, that I'm not even going to try to look it up, but they gave chondroitin sulfate to men that had really severe heart attacks. And when they gave them chondroitin sulfate, they recovered so much faster compared to the men in the control group that didn't have the glucosamine or chondroitin. It's really impressive.
So that would be a good combination with the niacin and that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes. And then if I were to look at the studies on what happens when people start taking what's called cod liver oil, if you wanted to find just one supplement that just about every human being should be taking every single day that has some of the greatest benefits, it literally touches every single cell and tissue in the body because every cell membrane is going to be made of what's called omega-3 fatty acids. But even the latest studies, it shows that, and I hate to even say it this way, but it's the way I'm going to say it because that's what the study shows. Even if men smoke cigarettes every single day, all of a sudden the chance and the risk of death from the cigarettes goes away as long as they're taking cod liver oil or omega-3 fatty acids. But, I mean, one study that I looked at the other day showed that the quality of your life is increased by 5 years. So I don't care how you interpret it, but if I was to interpret it, I'd say, you mean I can have 5 more quality years instead of having 5 years that were the pits just by taking cod liver oil? Yeah.
Mm. Well, at my age, you know, it's not like I'm a spring chicken. I'm pretty sprung right now. So that sounds like it's something that...
Well, how much longer would you like to live?
Well, if I live another 10 years, I'd be 85.
Well, but would that be God looking upon you with favor where you could do amazing things over these next 10 years?
Yeah, I could do a lot of... a lot of work in that area, like, you know, just being a witness for the Lord Jesus, that would be quite a bit right there.
Well, that would be the highest quality of 10 years in all of eternity, wouldn't it?
That would leave a much better legacy than not doing anything.
It'd be a better legacy than money, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I agree with you. All right. Well, thank you very well. Huh? The other thing I'd look at is just eating onions and garlic. You can't beat those.
Okay. Well, I am taking a pill of garlic too.
Very smart.
That,
so. Oh yeah, that's so real smart. Way to go.
Okay. Well, I'm on the right road then. That sounds like
you betcha. I enjoyed talking to you today, man.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Have a great weekend. Oh, thank you so much. God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, we have a phone line open, 903-589-8507. Now, I'm going to try to make what I think is a simple statement, but it's not simple to understand. No, I'm not. I'm going to go to the phone lines instead. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
You're sure welcome. Thank you for calling.
Let me turn my radio down there so it ain't interfering. I was listening there to your last caller, and I've had a triple bypass, and I'm on the verge of diabetic. I'm not taking insulin or anything, but I'm taking a number of medications, and I just wanted to go over with you if you think I can might could cut some out. You talking about glucosamine with Condroitin. I take that. You know, it's kind of together.
Yeah, good. Excellent choice.
And also, I'm taking, you know, I'm 68, and I'm taking a vitamin, you know, plus 50 vitamin. But my other medications, I'm taking that statin drug you're talking about, etrostatin or something. I don't know how to pronounce a lot of things.
Well, that makes then, you and me both.
Yeah, lisinopril and metformin. Okay.
Well,
now, let me just go over this with you, if you don't mind, then I'll let you comment, if you will. For the statin, I'm taking a Q-Col, I believe they say, that kind of offsets.
Yeah, Q-Col.
Yes, yes. And then I'm taking magnesium sulfate, I think, or something. And then rutin. I'd heard you mention that, and my doctor, my dermatologist, had already mentioned that before.
Really? That's good.
But the statin drug and the metformin and the lisinopril and all those vitamins, is there some way I can just, you know, bring it down to one or two instead of having to take a handful of pills?
You mean the vitamins?
Well, yes, basically yes. Or if there's something I can take instead of, you know, you hear horror stories about metformin and the statin, not so much lisinopril, I guess. I think it's a blood pressure medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is.
Anyway,
yeah.
I was just, you know, hoping for your advice on some of the things that, you know, I just mentioned, if I could cut them out or, you know, like I said, combine some of them or what's your opinion?
Well, I think there's several ways we can look at this. To be very positive, the best way you can do everything that you want is just by becoming healthier.
Yeah. Well, I do a minimal exercise, you know, and I walk. I got, you know, a little track made out around my house, and I'll walk a mile or so, you know, every other day, and I'll work out in between, you know, my upper body and what have you.
I like that. That's great.
But, you know, person still, like I say, at my age, and like I said, I had that triple bypass, and I didn't have a heart attack or anything, but my father had had one, and my grandfather had a quadruple, but they smoked heavily. And I just went in for a checkup, you know, based on their history, and sure enough, they found some plaque, and I had to have a, you know, and that was 3 years ago. And, like I said, I'm on the verge of being a diabetic, but I'm not taking insulin, but I'm taking these other pills. So I just wondered if you had any, you know, suggestions where I could, you know, do better in some way.
How's your sleep at night?
Well, actually, I don't sleep in a bed. I sleep in a chair. I'd been diagnosed with sleep apnea years ago. And I have a kind of a bad back that I was kind of formed with, a form of scoliosis, I was told when I was younger. But anyway, my back don't hurt, and I just sleep well in a chair, if you can believe that.
Yeah. Can I just give you some simple ideas?
Sure.
Okay. I would say one of the most important things you could do is just make sure you drink plenty of water.
Yes, I do that.
I would say another thing is whatever form of salt that you're using to season your food with, just switch to a clean form like Redmond salt, something like that.
You know, Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the body, as the body ages, you still have a great need for minerals. You kind of touched on that when you said magnesium, and I think that's a great choice on your part. But I think most people are terrified of salt. And I think the body needs a certain amount of salt to make sure that you have good blood pressure, that you can think clearly, that you have a lot of energy, and you just feel really good because it takes energy to heal.
You bet. Well, I eat oatmeal about every morning, and I put salt, you know, in my hand, kind of, so I kind of know how much I'm putting on it. But other types of salt, I use like a seafood salt. Is that a good salt?
Well, have to look at the label. But what I mentioned was Redmond's, just because most studies show that it's very clean. It doesn't have heavy metal contaminants like maybe pink Himalayan salt does. So I think that would be good for you.
Is that a Redmond now? Is that a brand name, or is that the type of salt?
Well, I think it's named after the mine from Redmond, Utah.
Okay.
You know how I've tried to make jokes out of this before, but I said, it's almost as if there was a great flood that covered the entire globe, and the ocean, you know, evaporated, the water evaporated and left the salt behind in Redmond, Utah, which that's really what happened. There was a great flood, right? I mean, we've got salt everywhere, but they're just, it's just a particularly good blend of minerals. And if you want to have energy, if you want to feel good, you've got to have minerals to do that.
Well, can you get that in any grocery store?
For example, there's a little health food store here in Jacksonville called Breakin' Bread. They sell it in bulk for $3.85 for a pound of it. I don't know how you're going to beat that price.
I mean, a little shaker costs that much, if not more.
Well, you're exactly right. But if you had a pound of the good stuff, then you're in business. The other thing is, I'm going to go in a little bit different direction on this. And you're going to have to just give me a little bit of artistic license, but what you want when you're trying to help your body repair itself or to overcome an injury like a damaged artery or a surgery or a bypass, or maybe your body's not working as well as it should, you want protein or amino acids.
Right.
What I would do is, instead of oatmeal for breakfast, I would switch with something based on more protein. If I could just emphasize protein, then you would have an opportunity to heal and repair yourself and actually see some rejuvenation.
You mean like eggs every other day, or eggs more often,
that,
or something?
That's a good suggestion. Great idea.
Okay. Well, hey, I didn't want to keep you too long. I know some people get on there and they talk forever, but I appreciate your input.
You're welcome. I appreciate you a whole bunch. Have a great day, buddy.
You too.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
I would say, for the most part, the average American, when they look at the recommendations for what to eat for breakfast, it could be everything from honey bunches of oats to, what do they call it? Cheerios? Honey Nut Cheerios? Well, yeah, those are great. If you want a boatload of sugar. See, those are the very things that would cause you to develop diabetes. Could you imagine what would happen if every single American gave their kids eggs for breakfast? What if mothers got up 20 minutes before the kids did and made an effort to cook breakfast for them so they would have the greatest possible chance to excel at school and to have their mind clear? But you can do that probably with eggs. It's a perfect source of protein. You can literally take a body that's in bad working condition, emphasize protein and fat, you know, like from eggs, and all of a sudden you can get their diabetes to turn around. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Morgan, since we were talking about diabetes, I want to know what your thoughts are on all these girls taking that shot. It's in like glucose.
I just absolutely hate it. So if you were to type in, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it's the UCLA School of Medicine. If I've got that wrong, I can correct it. But the UCLA School of Medicine, they did a year-long study on women that took the semaglutide or the tirtrepazide or the GLP-1 or Mounjaro or Ozempic. There's probably more names. Yeah. I can't remember all of them. But they showed that when they took it for a year, there was a 39% loss in muscle mass.
Muscle, yep.
And so let me give you an example.
My friend.
Let's just say that a human being weighs exactly 175 pounds. And let's just say that, I'm being generous here, I'm just making up a number. What if they were exactly 100 pounds of muscle and bone? Well, if you take one of those shots for a year, you're going to lose 39 pounds of your muscle. That means your body has switched because it's starving for nutrients. Your muscles represent your bank account on amino acids and certain nutrients. And so if your body's starving, if you don't provide your body what it needs, your body's going to start to eat it from any source. It's kind of like it turns cannibalistic. Your body starts eating you. But could you imagine what would happen if you went from 100 pounds of muscle down to, what would that be, 61 pounds of muscle? A person's going to become so weak.
Weak, yeah.
Actually what you're asking me, but I was watching a YouTube video where they were discussing research on longevity, and they said there was a study that said the stronger your thighs were, the longer that you were living, the longer that you could live. And I thought, this is like so...
I'm gonna live a long time.
I know, exactly. And so it's to your best interest. And so if you lose all your muscle mass in your thighs and you become frail and feeble, what's going to happen? You're going to have a fall and something's going to break and you're not going to recover from it.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I was afraid of. But I've got a great friend that she's doing that, and I just tried to explain to her, and I didn't know where a source was that I could go and find to give it to her. And so I thought, well, I'll call Dr. Morgan. He'll tell me a good resource.
Well, you know what? You could look up studies that are not glowing on Ozempic. No, I made that up. But we could surely find all this out really, really quickly. But thank goodness that she's got a friend just like you that loves her so much and cares about her long-term well-being. I don't know.
And
of course, that goes without saying. You're like an awesome friend. Could you imagine how long it's going to take for her to regrow some muscle once she's eaten it all? It's going to take a long time.
No. And the bad thing is, we're in our 50s, so there you go.
Well, and that's why I stressed to the gentleman a while ago that it actually becomes harder to get enough protein as you age. I mean, don't you go to the grocery store and see what older people put in their buggies?
Yes.
Let me see. It's called Little Dubby Zebra Honey Buns. Yes.
That's exactly true.
Man, I
get my mom and dad all the time to eat healthy, and it's like pulling teeth.
It is like pulling teeth sometimes. You ever heard the phrase, you can lead a horse to... Never mind. Let me get back on the topic.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that really answers your question, but man, it's scary and it's addictive. And so I know what's happening. People emotionally, they're all in when it comes to changing their body, but at the expense of destroying their health. They just don't see it that way.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just literally, can I just give you my opinion?
Yes.
It's just a matter of time before you have several law firms. This is the only thing that they're going to do. They're going to have television commercials saying, if you've taken a GLP-1 blocker or drug, contact the Manjaro and Ozempic law firm. We will sue them. It's just a matter of time because it's not restoring a person back to great working health. Anyway,
no.
We'll find out what happens in time.
Hey, Dr. Morgan, when can I send this link to my friend where she can listen to it?
Whenever there's a genius woman here at the station named Wendy Imprimo, and she's in charge of that. She's got the skill set to load it up, and usually it'll be Monday morning early. Sometimes she sends me a text at like 5 a.m. saying, okay, it's load up. You got this much time. And I'm going, do you ever sleep, Wendy? I think I sent her a text last time. I said, Wendy, when exactly do you actually show up to work? Evidently, the early bird gets a worm around here.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you.
It'll be Monday morning.
Enjoy your weekend.
All right. You too. Thanks a bunch, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. This program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan, and you're listening to the radio station KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview.